Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. This is a live call-in program, so dial 888-ASK-HANK to ask your question now. Again, that's 888-275-4265. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is a deep honor to be in studio to answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Of course, for many, the celebration yesterday of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the capstone in the arch of Christianity. If Christ is risen, if he is risen indeed, we can live our lives by a completely different standard, because we know we too will rise, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. I thought about that this weekend for a lot of reasons, not the least of which was reading an article in USA Today which proclaimed Islam the fastest growing faith, projected to grow more than twice as fast as any other major religion over the next half century. A 73% jump in Muslim numbers by 2050. And you think about the fact that this is the only major religious group projected to increase faster than the world's population as a whole. And then we have to recognize that this is a religion that began 6 centuries after Christ, now threatening to become the largest religion on the planet. Why? You look at the early Christian church, they were convinced that Christ had risen from the dead. They knew it as surely as they knew that they had flesh upon their bones. And so they counted not their lives worthy even unto death. And in the end, they turned an empire upside down. Today, we have to ask the question, is Islam willing to do for a lie what Christians are not willing to do for the truth? I think it's high time, quite frankly, that Christians become equipped. Equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them. And if they do, the trends may be reversed. And this is not just a popularity contest between two religions. This is about eternal destinies. It's one of the reasons that earlier on this year, just a couple of months back, we were offering Islam What You Should Know. It is still available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and our outreaches around the world. I couldn't help but think of another event this weekend as I was watching the Final Four. Duke now is going to play Wisconsin tonight for the title, for the championship. March Madness almost over, even though we're already in April. But think about the fact, every time I see Duke, every time I watch the Blue Devils, and I may even root for them, but every time I watch them, I can't help but think of Alex Rosenberg and the incredible influence he has had on the students at Duke University. Absolutely amazing to think what he has been able to accomplish with so many students, proving to them as an influential philosopher of science that there is no difference between right or wrong, between good or bad, nor is there free will. Teaching the students at Duke, where he wields enormous cachet. I mean, he is someone who is a megastar because of his book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, convincing the students no God, no meaning to life, and the only reason they're on the planet is dumb luck. And that's why last month we offered The New Atheism, a Survival Guide. All of these resources are offered to equip you so you're ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. But we must be equipped. The trends, quite frankly, are ominous. And the only way we ultimately make a difference is we become so familiar with the real that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, we know it instantaneously. This month, we're offering Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, and Stand. Why? Because not only does truth matter, but life matters, and I would argue life matters more. It's not just what you say, it is what you are that impacts the world. This is a gem. Again, the resources I'm talking about are all resources to equip you in the matter of truth and life. And all this week we have a campaign. It's called the Standing Shoulder to Shoulder in the Battle for Life and Truth campaign. And we're asking you to join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team during this campaign. When my wife saw the newspaper article, Islam, fastest growing faith, she said, honey, you have to do something about this. And I kind of smiled and I thought, well, one thing I can do is bring this matter before our constituency. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We need people to stand with this ministry. And again, when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, you quite literally supercharge this ministry. And so we're asking you to do that all this month. Transition from becoming an occasional giver, which is deeply appreciated, to a regular monthly supporter of this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. Again, when you do, I'd be pleased to send you any one of my books personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. I do remember the resources I mentioned at the beginning of the show, some of the resources available for your gift, Islam, What You Must Know, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, and now Watchman Nee's book, Sit, Walk, Stand. It's absolutely an incredible gem. Again, all available when you support this ministry, equip.org, on the web via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. The number to dial to get your questions answered. All this broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, listening on NRB television, I don't know how to pronounce the name. Hi.
Hi.
Adriana?
Yes, Adrian.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I have a simple question. My question is about prayer and talking to God. I hear a lot of people say that, you know, you talk to God like you're talking to your friend and what have you, but is it really that simple? Or because when I talk to God, I don't want to talk to God like, and I'm just saying words, and, you know, because I'm coming so simple, am I making sense?
Yeah.
I want to do it in the right order, if there's an order, the right way, or is it really that simple as people say? Like they'd say, just talk to him like you're talking to your friend. I mean, is it really that simple?
Well, in some sense it is. We are talking to the lover of our souls. And so prayer is not just bringing our supplications or bringing our requests, but it is building intimacy. It is building union with God. And all of that starts out with faith. Faith is the entryway to prayer. Through faith, we are saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. It's not just knowing about you or agreeing that you are the Prince of Life, but I trust, I depend on you alone. So all great prayer starts with an acknowledgement that God's hand is far stronger than our own hands. So we're trusting in Him. So we start with a prayer of faith. If you're asking for a progression, and then in my own prayer life, I move from expressing my faith in God to my adoration of God. A prayer without adoration simply does not work. And so I use actually some psalms for my own prayer time. This morning I use Psalm 145 because it is a prayer that is devoted to adoration. And it unshackles me from being focused on myself. Now I'm focused on the one that I adore, the one that I want intimacy with. And then the next thing I do in prayer is I confess my sins. Knowing that He is faithful and just, He will forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Then I give thanks for all the things that God has done. All the answered prayers. I think so often we rush into God's presence and we forget about all that He has already done for us, and therefore we don't express thankfulness. So I express faith in God, adoration, confession, and trust before I ever get to supplication. And many times in my prayer life, I go through the Lord's Prayer because every single phrase of the Lord's Prayer has a very important meaning to me. I also utilize what is called the Jesus Prayer. It is a way of focusing my mind on my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, throughout the day. So there are many things that we can learn about prayer, but the progression in simple terms is from expressing faith to adoration to confession to thanksgiving and then bringing our requests.
Okay. I understand.
I wrote a book on this. It is called The Prayer of Jesus.
Okay.
And it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute.
Okay. Thank you.
So often when we think about prayer, we think only about supplication. We rush into God's presence, and before our knees have ever hit the floor, we're already thinking about rushing back into our frenzied lifestyle. As such, we treat God no better than we treat some of our most intimate and important relationships. We want intimacy without the investment of quality time. So it's important that we learn to pray, learn to cherish the presence of God. I've been writing about this recently because this is a way of connecting with God. It is a way of union with God. If you do what I have just outlined, that in itself becomes just a wonderful way of being in the presence of God for a long period of time. The busier my days get, the more I cherish the time that I spend with the Lord, and the more effectively my life works. Without prayer, life simply does not work. And as I mentioned, the model prayer, the prayer of Jesus, is one of those prayers that I hope many of you will take the time to use as a template for prayer as well. So, I wrote a book called The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. The disciples at one time asked the Lord, teach us now to pray. And the answer the Lord gave them was this very thing that I'm mentioning. It was the prayer of Jesus, or what is typically known as the Lord's Prayer. Again, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it online at equip.org. Also want you to take a look at the new edition of the Christian Research Journal. The cover story is Christianity Bad for Your Health. Very provocative article in the Christian Research Journal. The Christian Research Journal is a magazine that no Christian home should be without. It is equipping you in those crucial areas that all of us need to be equipped in. I think, for example, about the issue of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, a tremendous article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. The journal is an award-winning magazine. It's subscription-based. You can subscribe on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
Far too many Christians are living a life that is fundamentally and tragically out of order. They struggle in the flesh to do what can be done only in the Holy Spirit. Watchman Nee's concise book, Sit, Walk, Stand, draws timeless principles from the letter to the Ephesians to help readers understand the right starting point of the Christian life, which is being seated with Christ. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Richard Dawkins' grasp of philosophical arguments wouldn't earn him a passing grade in a freshman philosophy course, but he doesn't mean to deal with the questions that theists are asking. He simply ridicules his opponent's position. In New Atheism, A Survival Guide, Graham Veal explains, the new atheist stance is that the reasons for theism must be so bad, why even read about them? My goodness, no, you just dismiss them. Veal goes on to show that the new atheists have not offered one original argument for atheism, but they've plenty of original insults. New Atheism offers an accessible, practical resource for countering new atheist attacks. To receive your copy of New Atheism, A Survival Guide, as our thank you gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. Watchman Nee observed in the letter to the Ephesians that three profoundly relevant themes for the Christian life were ordered in a particular way: our position seated in Christ, our walk with Christ in the world, and our stand for Christ against the enemy. An all too common mistake occurs when Christians attempt to walk in the world or stand against the enemy in their own power, not realizing that Christianity does not begin with walking or standing. It begins with sitting. In his classic little book, Sit, Walk, Stand, Watchman Nee expounds on the timeless truth that the starting point of the Christian life is being seated with Christ. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
That's equip.org.
The starting point of all Christian living is Christ Jesus, who is the tree of life. As Watchman Nee put it, we do not begin from the matter of ethical right and wrong. We begin from Him. Problems come when Christians try to do in their own power what can be done only through Christ. Nee's timeless little book, Sit, Walk, Stand, draws insights from Ephesians to help believers understand their position as seated in Christ, which sets them on the right course for walking with and standing for Him. To receive your copy of Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Cheryl. She's listening on NRB Television. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. So I have this really good friend who happens to be a Seventh-day Adventist, and she's constantly telling me that I'm wrong for eating pork and worshiping on Sunday, which I was under the impression that all those things are past. Can you please clarify?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. It is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, Jesus said, but that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus Christ pronounced all foods clean. So the notion that somehow or other you cannot eat pork anymore is simply misguided and wrong. And in fact, the Bible makes some fairly strong statements about those who push this idea. In 1 Timothy, also in Colossians. And so I don't think this is something that we want to follow. It's something that we want to shun. We want to recognize that the Old Testament had civil and ceremonial laws that are abrogated because ultimately they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I feel much better.
Well, good.
And I love your show. Today was my first time actually seeing, and I was just flipping through looking for something to watch, and I'm so happy that I found you. And I want to also listen on the radio. So what, I have Sirius XM.
Yeah.
So what station are
We're on Sirius XM 131.
131.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thanks a lot for your call. And of course, as Colossians says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ron. He's listening in Middleboro, Massachusetts. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Just for the fun of it, I read the book that you reference in the Apocalypse called The Jesus Papers by Michael Bagnet. And in it, he says that the church in Rome has first century documents that Jesus survived the cross and was still alive, seen alive in 45 AD. And I think he mentioned Alexandria. Where does he come up with this stuff?
Out of thin air. I mean, this is a conspiracy theory. He was the author, of course, of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which was foundational to another book that I wrote about, Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. That book is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. But he is a conspiracy theorist. He holds to the idea that Jesus Christ was married, that Jesus was not divine, that Jesus faked his death. And again, this is regurgitation of other people's work throughout the centuries. Back in 1929, for example, D.H. Lawrence fantasized that after he survived crucifixion, Jesus ended up in Egypt. He fell in love with the priestess Isis there, and then there was another conspiracy theory in 1972 with Donovan Joyce that was called the Jesus Scroll. And in this rendition, Jesus was apparently revived by a doctor who had been planted in the tomb ahead of time. In 1992, Barbara Thiering produced an even more outrageous version. And in that particular version, Jesus is crucified along with Simon Magus, Judas at Qumran. He imbibed snake poison to fake his death. And then when he recovered, he married Mary Magdalene and later on fell in love with Lydia at Philippi. A lot of conspiracy theories, but they are made up out of whole cloth. What we know is that Jesus is historical. We know that Jesus died. The fatal torment of Jesus Christ is one of the best attested facts of ancient history. So the theories that he faked his death and lived on and married Mary Magdalene and so forth, simply, again, made up out of whole cloth. Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, and Paul makes a very compelling argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christianity simply could not survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ. So Jesus Christ was buried, he rose again, and he gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He showed himself to over 500 people at one time. He appeared to Peter, then to the 12. He appeared to James, then to the other disciples. And they were radically changed as a result of the appearance of Jesus Christ, including the fact that James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, embarrassed by everything that his half-brother stood for, became the leader of the Jerusalem church and ultimately was martyred for his faith and his half-brother. And you inevitably have to ask yourself the question, what would it take for you to willingly die for the notion that one of your half-brothers is God? Only the resurrection can account for that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You got it. You know, one of the things that over the years has had such a tremendous impact on me is Dr. Simon Greenleaf. He wrote a tome on the appearances of Christ and the validity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I put this in my book, Resurrection. It's extraordinarily powerful. I'm having a hard time turning to anything today, but it's in my book, Resurrection. And it basically points out that there's no possible motive for fabricating the resurrection of Jesus Christ and holding to that when you are going to suffer in every single way as a result of that kind of fabrication. Christy next in Everett, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Christy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you all the time, but this is the first time I've ever called you. My question actually has to do with the resurrection. Being a Christian, I know that there's a lot of points to Christianity that other religions cannot point to, and God sending his son and resurrecting his son certainly is one. No other religion can claim resurrection ability. So my question is, why is it that God will allow Satan to raise the Antichrist in the future? Why would he mimic Christianity in that way? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the broadcast. Thank you for calling in. Well, it's very interesting that if you look at John's epistles, he makes clear that already Antichrist has come. He also makes clear that anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is Antichrist. So the idea that Antichrist is relegated to our particular epoch of time simply doesn't hold much water. Antichrist is any institution, any individual that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. As far as the uniqueness of Christianity is concerned, remember that all other religions are man's attempt to reach up and become acceptable to God through what we do. living a good life, obeying the Ten Commandments. Some religions, you go round and round until finally you become one with nirvana or one with the universe, but it's all man's attempt to reach up. Christianity is precisely the opposite of that. It is God reaching down, providing a way for us to know Him in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So unlike other religions, Christianity is rooted in history. It's rooted in evidence. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. He was born during the reign of Caesar Augustus. He was put to death by Pontius Pilate. The testimony of his life, his death, his resurrection is validated both by credible witness testimony as well as by credible extra-biblical evidence. And no other religion can legitimately claim that kind of support from history and from evidence. Not only so, but all the influential religious leaders of the world, whether you're talking about Buddha or Moses or Zoroaster or Krishna or Muhammad, of all those leaders, only Jesus claimed to be God in human flesh. And that was not an empty boast, because through the historically verifiable fact of the resurrection, Christ vindicated his claim to deity. Other religions like Buddhism and Islam claim miracles in support of their faith. However, unlike Christianity, such miracles lack historical validation. And that's a huge, a very substantive difference. And one other point, and we'll go on to our callers, but Christianity is unique in that it is a coherent belief structure. Some Christian doctrines may transcend comprehension. However, unlike the claims of other religions, they are never irrational or contradictory. Christianity is also unique in that it cogently accounts for the vast array of phenomena that we encounter in everyday life, like the human mind, like laws of science, like laws of logic, ethical norms, justice, love, meaning in life, the problem of evil and suffering, even the issue of truth, that which corresponds to reality. In other words, Christianity corresponds with the reality of our present condition. And again, as I started talking about at the beginning of this broadcast, this is why it is so transcendently important for us to do what the early Christians did, to communicate the great truths that they communicated, that Christ had risen from the dead, and that only through repentance from sin and faith in Him could men hope for salvation. And that doctrine, as Dr. Simon Greenleaf pointed out, they asserted with one voice everywhere, not only under the greatest discouragements, but in the face of the most appalling terrors that can be presented to the mind of man. Propagating that faith even in the most inoffensive and peaceful manner, they could expect nothing but contempt, opposition, revilings, bitter persecutions, stripes, imprisonments, torments, and even cruel deaths. And yet, the faith they zealously propagated, and they endured all of those miseries rejoicing. As one after another was put to a miserable death, the survivors only prosecuted their work with increased vigor and resolution. Bottom line, if then their testimony was not true, there was no possible motive for the fabrication. Christianity just simply corresponds to reality. We'll be right back.
Christians often attempt to walk with Christ in order to one day sit with Him. But this is the reversal of the true order. Christianity begins not with a big do, but with a big done. Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee explores timeless principles from Ephesians which demonstrate the paradoxical truth that we advance in the Christian life only as we learn to first sit down. To receive your copy of Sit, Walk, Stand as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI.
and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Some time ago, the Christian Research Institute changed its tagline from "Because Truth Matters" to "Because Life and Truth Matter." Reason being that for Christians, truth and the abundant life are inseparable. It's no small clue that Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the life. Tragically, in matters of life, Christians often try to walk with Christ in order to one day sit with him. But this is the reversal of the true order. The concise book Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee explores timeless principles from the book of Ephesians, which demonstrate the truth that we advance in the Christian life only as we learn first to sit down. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. In The Atheist's Guide to Reality, Enjoying Life Without Illusions, Duke University professor and new atheist philosopher Alex Rosenberg bites the bullet and declares that to be a consistent atheist, you'll have to be comfortable with a certain amount of nihilism and, just in case, there's always Prozac. Because a growing multitude of college students are drinking deeply from this nihilistic nonsense, we shouldn't be surprised that so many of our national spiritual and cultural indicators are headed south. Graham Veal's concise book, New Atheism, A Survival Guide, is an accessible, practical resource for responding to the nihilistic nonsense of New Atheist. To receive your copy of New Atheism, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's mind-changing and life-transforming outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Watchman Nee is remembered for his leadership of an indigenous church movement in China, as well as for his many books that continue to enrich Christians throughout the world. One profound insight Nee gleaned from the letter to the Ephesians is the realization that for us to advance in the Christian life, we must first be seated with Christ. Walking with Christ and standing for him against the enemy come afterward. Learn more about this paradoxical truth in Watchman Nee's classic little book, Sit, Walk, Stand. To receive your copy of Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Mike. He's listening in Fayetteville, Arkansas on Bot Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how's it going, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Well, my question was regarding modalism, and I've heard you talk about it a couple times on the show. I've got a couple friends that believe, have this view of God, and I kind of wanted to know if, is it at all possible for a person to hold this view and be saved? And if not, I wanted to know, how come we don't hear more, more Trinity teaching and sharing the gospel, like, the Roman Road of Salvation? A lot of churches have a way to share the gospel, and I don't really hear a lot of teaching about the nature of God. So that's my question.
Sure, and it's a good question. I've said this before, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And so we must bow our knee before God's self-revelation in Scripture. And in Scripture, what we have very clearly articulated in both the Old and New Testament is that there is only one God. Furthermore, the Bible communicates that the Father is God. In unmistakable terms, communicates that the Son is God. And then communicates that the Holy Spirit is God as well. And finally, as you read through the Scriptures, you discover that the Father never becomes the Son, nor does the Son become the Spirit. Maybe in economical terms he does, in practical reality as he works in our life, but not in terms of his nature. And so in the Annunciation, in baptism, in even the Great Commission, you see that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So what I think is important, again, is for us not to develop some philosophically based kind of idea of God that is palatable to us, but rather to bend the knee before God's revelation of himself to us instead. And this is what you find in modalism. You find people finding a way to reduce God to categories that they can comprehend. In reality, we serve an incomprehensible God. Even the description of God in the Bible is something that we only apprehend. So when I say there's only one God, when I say the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct, I say that not because I comprehend it, but because I apprehend it. God is ineffable. He's beyond knowing. And so we must think about him as he has taught us to think about him, not make up other ways to think about him. So certainly, I think someone can be saved in spite of having a comprehensive apprehension of the nature of God, but not when you spite that knowledge of God, which is to say, if God reveals himself a certain way, you cannot contradict that with impunity. And that is precisely what Oneness Pentecostalism does, for example. They're a oneness group that says that the doctrine of the Trinity is pagan, polytheistic philosophy, and that in spite of the fact that the Bible clearly teaches one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct.
That makes a lot of sense. That's really clear. So I guess with that being said too, you know, like I've gone door to door sharing the gospel. People, I believe the Trinity, but it seems to be, is that something we should be actively trying to share with people? I don't know if that makes any sense, but is that you think that's something we should be really sharing right along with the very basic, you know, the gospel and all of that?
Well, I think people grow in their knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They grow in their knowledge of God the Father. They grow in their apprehension of the power of the Holy Spirit. What's important for everyone to recognize is that they're sinners and that they are destined to die, and that because of Christ, we can have not only salvation by his death, but life that is life more abundantly. So I always communicate in sharing the gospel that we are sinners, that Christ lived the perfect life that we could never live, and he offers it to us as an absolutely free gift, which is to say we can reach out the hand of a beggar and receive the gift of a king. And that gift of a king is not only to get us into heaven when we die, but to allow us to have union with God in the life that we have right now. So when we're sharing the gospel, we talk about God the Father, we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. In other words, God sent his Son into the world so that by the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we might have life everlasting. We also talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, the personal third person of the Trinity that gives us the ability to live victoriously, to give us the ability even to apprehend the gospel as it is being communicated to us. So even in the gospel presentation, we talk about God sending his Son into the world and through the power of the Holy Spirit giving us life that is life indeed.
Sounds good. Well, Hank, I appreciate your time and I appreciate your show.
Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Steve in Springfield, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. My wife approached me yesterday, and she was pretty upset about something she found online. It was a support group for people who had left the Christian faith, which in itself was disturbing. But what she saw was an article someone there wrote about the resurrection. He said, well, don't worry if you don't believe, because all the gospel accounts contradict each other. How many women went to the tomb? Was it one, two, or three? Each gospel is different. Who did Jesus show them to first? Each account is different. And I spoke with her about how different people, when they view an event, will record different aspects of the event. But I'm wondering if there's a different approach you would have taken to that, or what you would add to that.
No, I wouldn't take a different approach. I think you're taking exactly the right approach. The Gospels are complementary rather than contradictory. If John, in the example that you cited, had stipulated that Mary Magdalene was the only female to discover the empty tomb, and then the other Gospels went on to claim that more than one woman was involved, we would be faced with an obvious contradiction. But what you have in Scripture is details that complement one another. And so when you look at all of the gospel accounts, they simply serve to flesh out the rest of the story. And if you look at what credible scholars are looking for to begin with, it is a reliable core set of facts in order to validate historical accounts. And in this particular case, liberal and conservative scholars alike agree that the body of Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. By the way, as a member of the Jewish court that convicts Christ, he is unlikely to be Christian fiction. And when we consider the role of women in first century Jewish society, what is remarkable is that the empty tomb accounts feature females as heroes of the story to begin with. You don't see that in the puff pieces that are put on the internet because it simply doesn't serve their purposes. So what you can know about the gospel is that they factually recorded what happened, even if it was culturally embarrassing to them. And if each gospel writer presented secondary details in exactly the same way, what would critics do? They would dismiss the accounts on the basis of collusion. Instead, the Gospels provide unique yet mutually consistent perspectives on the events surrounding the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. And I think that these are the kinds of principles that we want to look at. We can safely conclude that far from being contradictory, the Gospel accounts are clearly complementary, that a consensus of credible scholarship considers the core set of facts presented by the gospel writers to be authentic and reliable, and that the unique perspectives provided by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John preclude the possibility of collusion. By the way, yesterday I was having a little fun with my kids. I was we're coming back from church, and I was saying to them, you know what? I have found a horrible contradiction in the Bible. And that contradiction is that you read some of the gospel accounts, they say one thing about how many donkeys were involved when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Some think it's two, some think it's one. We have the account in, I think it's John chapter 12. We have the account in Matthew. We have the account in Mark. We have the account in Luke. And what you find is that Matthew seems to contradict the other accounts. So Matthew has two donkeys. Which is it? And then Matthew's gospel says that Jesus rode on them. Was this like a clown act? I mean, how in the world do you ride two donkeys into Jerusalem? So this is a serious problem. I was, again, kidding around with my kids, and my kids said, well, there's got to be a good answer to this. And I said, well, you tell me what the good answer is, because it seems like an obvious contradiction to me. So we went on and on with this, and we sat around the table for lunch, and everyone was trying to figure out the answer to this. And the answer to this is quite apparent, but many people don't catch it. It takes some thinking. And perhaps instead of answering the question, I'll leave that question with you to try to figure out for yourself. On subsequent broadcasts, I'd be happy to answer that question. But these are the kinds of things that you're going to encounter on the web. And it's why you need to learn to read the Bible for all its wealth. It is a mine full of wealth, and we can mine it for its wealth. You have to learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. Otherwise, fundamentalists from the left are going to trip you up, whether it's in a classroom or whether it's on the internet, and it's going to shake people's faith. The principles are given in an entry I have in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Do remember, this is our shoulder-to-shoulder campaign week. For those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, to you, a family member or a friend. I'll personalize it for you. As my way of saying thank you for joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team. We'll be talking more about the shoulder-to-shoulder campaign and the battle for life and truth on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Watchman Nee observed in the letter to the Ephesians that three profoundly relevant themes for the Christian life were ordered in a particular way: our position seated in Christ, our walk with Christ in the world, and our stand for Christ against the enemy. An all too common mistake occurs when Christians attempt to walk in the world or stand against the enemy in their own power, not realizing that Christianity does not begin with walking or standing. It begins with sitting. In his classic little book, Sit, Walk, Stand, Watchman Nee expounds on the timeless truth that the starting point of the Christian life is being seated with Christ. To receive Sit, Walk, Stand as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral,
furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.